If last time that that we were learning together, we discussed the purpose of creation and the role of Chassidus and the Chiddush of Chassidus. So today we're going to take a very, very important fundamental yisod in the Torah of Chassidus and the Torah of Kabbalah Bechlal, and we're going to try to speak about that. So just as a background, if last time we spoke about the concept of Dira B'Tachtonim and the Jewish people's purpose in Dira B'Tachtonim, today we're going to discuss two fundamental questions which arise from that topic, and they're two very heavy theological questions, and I hope that framing those questions are going to be important in understanding this concept. And then as we understand this concept, hopefully it will help us get to understand this fundamental concept, which is called Tzimtzum, and obviously how that affects our Avodas Hashem. Okay, let's get started with the Psukim. There's a number of places throughout Tanakh where we see that Hashem is described as almighty and everywhere, right? So obviously, one of the most famous ones is in Dvarim, Dan Lamed Hey, Atah Hareis Ladas Ki Adonai Hu Elohim Ein Od Milvado. Right, we all know that phrase Ein Od Milvado. There is nothing else besides for Hashem in the world. Right, in the famous Merkava that we say every single day in Kaddish. Right, Yeshayahu says VeKara Ze Elze VeAmar. The Malachim are speaking one to another. And they say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvaos. Hashem is holy. Melo chol ha'aretz kevodo. The entire world is filled with Hashem. So far in these two psukim, we see that Hashem is great. Hashem is totally in control. He fills up the entire world. Not only does he fill up the entire world, but there's nothing else besides for him. What does Ein Od Milvado mean? What does it mean that he's Melo chol ha'aretz kevodo? And finally, another pasuk that we find in Yirmiyahu, speaking about different Rishayim doing things, and they think that Hashem doesn't see. So Yirmiyahu says, "In yesater ish b'mistarim, if a person thinks that he can hide away from me, va'ani lo erenu nu madunai, and Hashem says, and I'm not going to see him, halo es ha'shamayim ve'es ha'aretz ani maleinu madunai." Right? The entire earth and the heavens I fill. So, from these psukim, what ends up coming out is that Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is everywhere, and Hashem fills the entire earth and heaven. And not only that, but Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing else in the world. And a very important theological question emerges from this, right? If this is true, that there's no other space in the world, there's Ein Od Milvado, and he's Malo Kol Ha'aretz Kevodo, how is it possible for us to exist? If our entire purpose is to create this Dira B'Tachtonim, how do we do that? How do we do that if we have no space to breathe? If there is no other existence besides for Hashem? The famous Zohar that describes this phenomenon says, "Ubechol eivar ve'eivar iu yudke vavke." In every place, in every body part, Hashem exists. "Viu shirua dechol eivar ve'eivar begava be'arka ila ve'tata." Hashem is up, Hashem is down, like the famous song La'ar besitrin. He's in every direction, right? "V'iu eivar ve'eivar leis asar panuimine." This famous phrase that there is no place which is vacant from Hashem. If this is true, that there's no place which is vacant of Hashem, and Hashem is Ein Od Milvado, and he's Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kevodo, how do we exist? This question is so important for us, is because not only how do we exist in this framework, but how do we perform the task which was put upon us, right? We see that we do exist. So now the question is, how does that work? If Hashem is also filling the entire world, how do we exist? Right? And how do we fulfill our role in this world? That's the first question that we need to ask. And that emerges from these psukim, is that Ein Od Milvado, Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kevodo, how is it that we perform this Dira B'Tachtonim, this very important task that Hashem said that this is the entire purpose of creation? The second question, which is no less important, and really explains the other side of the matbea, the other side of the same coin, is that we know that if Hashem is all this greatness, if he's melo chol ha'aretz kevodo, right, and ein od milvado, and he's totally unlimited, and he's totally so great and all exalted, how is it that a unlimited being like Hashem can exist in a physical dimensional world which is limited, right? Even though that we know that our world, the physical world, is very large and it's vast, and we don't even know what the limits are, but it is limited. How is it possible that Hashem, who is unlimited, who is this total overseeing being, how is it possible that that spiritual existence exists in our world? Right? And these two fundamental questions are so important, because if we understand that our dira b'tachtonim, that our entire purpose in this world is to create a dwelling place in this world for Hashem, then we have two very large issues. And those two very large issues is, on one hand, how is it possible that Hashem, who is unlimited, could fit in this limited world? On the other hand, if he is here, and there is a way for him to fit in this world, so then if he is Ein Od Milvado and Malo Kol Haaretz Kevodo, so then what is our purpose in this world? It's like, what are we adding? Not only what are we adding, but how do we even exist here? And to understand these two very important theological questions, which philosophers for thousands of years have discussed, many philosophers explained, the earlier Greek philosophers explained, that Hashem really is so great, and he's so amazing, and he's so unlimited, and therefore he just created this world, and he totally left the world. He created Mother Nature, and he's not here. Right? And they came to that conclusion because they had the same exact questions that we do. How is it that this unlimited being exists in this limited world? And how is it that we're existing if there's this unlimited being? Those are the two very, very important questions. Right? We're not the first person to ask this question. Shlomo HaMelech himself, when at the Chanukah Sabayis, when he's giving a tefillah, right, when he's giving a tefillah about the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech asks this question in tefillah form. He says, I just built this bayis, this Beis HaMikdash, which is supposed to be a place which is called the Beis HaShechina. Right? So Shlomo HaMelech says in Malachim, Ki ha'omnam yeshev Elohim ala aretz. Is Hashem really going to exist and sit in this world? Hinei ha'shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim lo yichal kelucha. Right? The heavens don't even have the capacity to keep you inside. It's almost ridiculous that I'm creating this home for you, which I assume you're going to dwell in. That it's a ridiculous attempt. Even the heavens and the space and there's nothing that could totally encompass you. So these are the two questions. And in order to understand the answer and the theological and Kabbalistic understanding of how this is possible, we're going to use the word tzimtzum, and we're going to try to explain what tzimtzum is and how that affects our avodah session. So really, when speaking about tzimtzum, there are two stages or two different types of tzimtzum. I'd like to start with the first one, but we're going to emphasize the second one because the second one is going to affect us more. So when Hashem created the world, he has this problem, right? The problem is that how can he create something which is other than himself? If he fills the world, Ein Od Milvado, so then how do we exist? That was our first question. So the Arizal was the first one who spoke about this term with the word tzimtzum. And this is a piece from Eitz Chaim, right? The famous student of the Arizal, Rav Chaim Vital. And he says the following. You should know before all of the creations were made. Right? There was a simple, achdus, a light, which filled the entire reality. Velo haya makom panui avir rikani v'chalal. Right, there was no space. Sorry, b'bchinas. Right, haya makom lo haya makom panui b'bchinas avir rikani v'chalal. There was no other space besides for Hashem. Right, we're talking about before time and before space. Ela hakol haya memula min ha'or ha'pashatahu. Everything was filled from that light. That light we're going to call Or Ein Sof, an unlimited light, right? That's the most revealed light of God. That's God's existence in the most pure, essential way that we can understand it. This bright light, let's take the sun's light for example. So that was before creation. However, when Hashem created the world, Vihine, as tzimtzem es atzmo, then Hashem took his light and constricted it, contracted it, es atzmo ein sof b'nekuda ha'emtzais, right, into this one small nekuda, asher bo b'emtza mamesh v'tzimtzem ha'har ahu v'nisrachek el svivos ha'nekuda ha'emtzais, v'az nishar makom panui v'avir v'chalal reikani. And so what did Hashem do, says the Arizal? And we're going to give a small mashal for this. And once again, the mashal that we're going to speak about today is very important to emphasize that the mashal that we're going to use aren't really going to explain it on an essential level, because we're going to see that this is much more complex. But just for practical sense, we need to be able to try to understand this concept. The Arizal says that if, for example, this room was filled with feathers or something which wasn't a material that wasn't so dense, and it totally filled the room. So what did Hashem do in order to fit other things into the room, to fit other creations in the room? Once again, I'm oversimplifying this, but what he did is he took all of that dense light and he constricted it into a smaller light, which allowed now other things to exist amongst this space. And that's how he created the world. He created the ability for others to exist amongst him. And that's what we call the Tzimtzum Rishon. The Tzimtzum Rishon, which question does this answer? It answers our first question, right? Our first question is, how is it possible that we exist, right? If Hashem is Ein Od Milvado, if nothing else exists besides for him, if he's this unlimited light, so then how is there space? So says the Arizal, the way that it works, the theological tool, is this concept which is called Tzimtzum. He constricted his light and therefore allowed for other things to exist. Now let's try to speak about the second concept. This second tzimtzum is called in the Svarim HaKadoshim tzimtzum sheni, or what others call it as the parsa. The parsa is like an expansive version of this tzimtzum, of the tzimtzum rishon. But now we're going to see that it's going to answer our second question. You have a question, Noah? Yeah, go ahead, please. Right. It's a great question. And I wanted to avoid speaking about the machlokas about the Tzimtzum Rishon. But I'll just relate to it in a second. There's a big machlokas amongst the Mekubalim exactly what the mechanism of Tzimtzum Rishon was. Did Hashem really leave space for other things? Or did it look as if he was leaving space for other things? So on a simple level, and the approach that we're going to go with is the Hasidic approach, which the Alter Rebbe developed and many other Mekubalim, was that Tzimtzum is lav kipshuto, is not that God actually left that space, because we know everything is sourced from God. Everything that exists in this world has a makor from the or Ein Sof. However, so to answer your question, Noah, which is a great question, what is left over after that Tzimtzum Rishon is now creation, which is a product of that first light. However, it's a lesser level, it's a lesser potency of that light. It's a lesser bright of a light. Okay, and we're going to try to develop that that with Tzimtzum Sheni. So Tzimtzum Rishon answers our first question as to how can we exist in this world. The second question that we asked is, if Hashem is unlimited and Hashem is so unbelievable and exalted and almighty, so how does He exist in this world? So Tzimtzum Sheni, or like we said, like some of the Mekubalim call it, the Parsa works in the following manner. The same tool of constriction, Hashem took that tool of constriction of Tzimtzum, and He was mitzamtzem His light, and He took what was an unlimited light, and now filtered it, or brought it down into which we're going to see in just a second. He took that same light. See the problem with each of the mashalim that I'm going to give is that each mashal doesn't exactly work with one another. I'll try to give it in a mashal, and then we'll see. So what's the issue essentially? You see this bottle that I'm holding up, the bottle of pills, the ibuprofen that you're not supposed to be taking during Corona. That's why it's in my back room. So if God is unlimited and we tried to stick Him into this bottle, what would happen to the bottle? Shviras HaKelim, it would exist. It would cease to exist, right? Same too, if we were to try to take all of the dense water of the ocean and try to put it into a water bowl, what would happen is the water bowl would cease to exist. So what Hashem did was this process of constricting His light into a form in which it would be able to exist in a similar manner, but in a way that we can exist within that context. So I want to give you, sometimes there's two ways to explain something. There's defining it, and then there's defining what it's not. So let's give an example of times throughout history when there was a lapse of Tzimtzum. There are sometimes lapses in the Tzimtzum process. So I'll give you the most classic example just to sort of emphasize and try to explain what we're speaking about. By Har Sinai, what happens to Am Yisrael? They hear Dvar Hashem, they hear the Aseres HaDibros, Mipi HaGvura, they hear it directly from God. Right? What that essentially meant is that they were hearing from the Atzmus of Hashem, from the essence of Hashem. What happened to them? The Midrash describes that it was so much for them. And what happens? They have this kalos anefesh, right? Their spiritual, right? Their soul leaves their body. And why does their soul leave their body? Because it was too much. It was too much light, right? If a person were to go outside and look at the sun, try to stare at the sun, what would happen? You'd go blind eventually, right? It's too bright for you. So what's the tool at which by Har Sinai things changed? And going back to creation, putting on sunglasses, right? The world needed sunglasses in order to exist amongst Hashem's almightiness, and in order for Hashem to exist here, it needed to be a less bright of a light. And that is what Tzimtzum Sheni is. I just want to see inside for a second a piece in the Tanya which he describes this. And he says that this Tzimtzum, one might think that it shows that Hashem is so low, is that Hashem took His light and made it so low. But the Alter Rebbe says the exact opposite. Is that, here, look in Perek Daled. He says, "Va'avta Kodesh Baruch Hu nikra Ein Sof v'gdulas so ein cheker v'leis machshava tfisa be'klal." And even though that we know essentially that Hashem is almighty and nothing could actually grasp Him, V'chein b'irtzono v'chachmaso k'dichsiv ein cheker l'ashem l'tfunaso v'ksiv acheker lokatimsa v'ksiv kino machshavosei machshavoseichem. Right? Even though that our thoughts are not Hashem's thoughts, and the way that we think is not the way that Hashem thinks, and so on and so forth, and Hashem is so almighty and we're so small. Hine alze amru. This is what Chazal meant when they said, Bimakom shata motzeh gdulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the place which you find the almightiness of God and the greatness of God, sham ata motzeh anvanuso. Right? Dafka, in that place, that's where we see Hashem's anava. What does it mean that his anava? So the Alter Rebbe explains, Vitzimtzeim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ritzono V'chachmaso. Hashem took his essence, his ratzon, and he constricted it into a form in which can translate into our physical world, right? And the Alter Rebbe gives an example of what that tzimtzum looks like. V'chachmaso b'tarig mitzvah satorah, he translated that into Tarig mitzvah satorah, ubehilchosein, ubeosios hatanach, v'drashosein, shebagadosh mumjeshei chachmenu zal. Right. So Hashem kivyachol took his essence and turned it into something. Right. For example, which like the Alter Rebbe says over here. For example, he took his essence and turned that into Torah. Right. And that's how we can have a physical when we're speaking about Reuven and Shimon. And the parash and nagach, and we have all of these physical cases that essentially is the same light. It's the same or ein sof. However, it's in this kli. It's in this form which we can understand. I want to give another mashal for those of you who just understand very basics in computers. I always used to have this problem, which was. That if you ever try to send a very large file, like on Gmail or something, I think they have like a, they have some sort of, it's like you can only send up to like 2.5 gigs on an email or whatever it was. And I always have this trouble, like I want to send a large file, so what do I do? So now we have these clouds and we have all of these different situations, but it used to be the way that you used to send large files was this thing that was called a zip file. Does anyone know what a zip file is? What is a zip file, basically? The way that a zip file works is that you took, essentially, the content that you wanted. So let's take, for our example, Hashem's essential or Ein Sof. You took all of God, and you put him into a file, and that file goes through this process of constriction, Kipshuto, right? It breaks down the file and makes it into a smaller, it doesn't weigh as much, right? And then when you send it, so it doesn't weigh as much, and then on the other side, the zip file, if you have the right technology, you can reopen that zip file, and essentially you're looking at the same content. That same content that weighed 25 gig, right? Through the zip file, weighs 1 gig, right? That's essentially what Hashem did, is he took his essence and his light and he constricted it into a form which we can exist. I want to show you something that I actually learned from my 8th grade Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi Denberg. And I just want to make the same emphasis that he made back then, is that the chart that we're about to see is really just a way of trying to understand it, but essentially it doesn't describe anything which is emes at any level. It's really just an attempt to try to visualize what we're speaking about. So without further ado, let's see this. Do you guys see this the chart? Yes, go ahead, Noah. Of course, I'll send them all to you. I'll send them to you. Okay? So, like I said, the emphasis at the top, warning, this is all just a flimsy attempt at understanding the greatness of Hashem. So we have this space, and all of this space is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? This thing over here, this is called the Or Ein Sof. The space is the Or Ein Sof. It's the light. It's the essence of who Hashem was. Right? Hashem couldn't exist in the light blue, which is called the halal, which is called this limited space, because unlimited doesn't fit into limited. So what happened? What happened is we have this concept, this process, which is called the constriction of his light, this tzimtzum, this nekuda of tzimtzum. Okay, follow the mouse. This nekuda of tzimtzum. So there's a number of different ways to explain what we're about to speak about, which is called the Kav Ha'ishtalshelus. But I think that it's helpful to understand it in a way which is a funnel. Okay? A funnel of lights. So I'm sure all of you guys are familiar with the concept of there being other spiritual worlds or other spiritual realms. Atik Yomen, Arech Anpin, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, all these other spiritual worlds. There's no living beings in these other worlds. It's worlds of Malachim. And so when we understand that Hashem wanted to make space for other, what happens is the light is constricted, like we see over here, and it starts going through this funnel. And as we go further and further down, what happens is the light becomes less and less and less and less clear, right? It's the same light, right? So we can't claim that it's a different light. It's not like it's not Hashem. However, it's as if we were putting on one pair of sunglasses and two pairs of sunglasses, or if I were to put shades on my window and the sunlight wouldn't pierce through my eyes, but it's the same sun, right? It's the same light. So the picture that I have over here is this funnel, the funnel that's coming down, and little by little, and through each spiritual world, there's higher levels and there's lower levels, eventually until we get to this place, which is called our world, the Olam Hazeh. And the Olam Hazeh is a place which is the ultimate expansion of Tzimtzum, right? It's the ultimate purpose of Tzimtzum. The ultimate purpose of the creation was to create a world which is totally physical and seemingly, at first glance, right, vacant of God's light, and to really reveal that it's really here. So Hashem really exists in Olam Hazeh. However, what's the challenge of Tzimtzum? The challenge of Tzimtzum is that we don't see Him. We don't see the light. What Tzimtzum basically is on one hand, Tzimtzum, like our first questions that we asked, how is it possible that we exist here? How is it possible that Hashem exists here? So Tzimtzum on one hand is the tool which allows us to have a relationship with Hashem. It allows us to see Hashem's light in a revealed way which doesn't burn us. But on the other hand, Tzimtzum is also the tool which hides Hashem from us. Right? A person could live their entire lives and not believe in God. Right? The philosophers, they said Hashem doesn't exist here. Right? How is that possible? It's because of Tzimtzum. So Tzimtzum has this upside and the downside. On one hand, it's a revealing tool. On the other hand, it's a hiding tool. In order for us to exist, in order for Hashem to exist in this world, He needed to constrict His light. However, at the same time, in order for Him to exist here, He needed to reveal Himself. So Tzimtzum is so, so important to understand this fundamental of understanding that Hashem really exists in our world, right? It's not that my entire life is supposed to be, and we're going to speak about this by Arichus, we're going to speak about Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba, but and the purpose of physical mitzvos and the purpose of living in a physical world. But first, in order to frame our existence, is that all of our existence is because of this Tzimtzum, right? So now let's get to with the last 5 minutes. Let's get to the Nekuda, which is really important. Which is, what does Tzimtzum mean to me, right? So we understand the chart here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzimtzum, the Kav HaYishtalshelus, right? Let's see a piece in Tanya. Perek Lamed Vav. We're going to run through it. One of the most fundamental chapters in Tanya, Perek Lamed Vav. He says, Tachlis Brias Olam Hazeh, the entire purpose of creation of this world, Hu Shenisave Hashem Shiyelo Dira Betachtonim. Right? We spoke about this last time. That was the entire purpose of this creation, right? Is that Hashem wanted to have a Dira Betachtonim, right? And he says, going on, Vine Lo Shayach Lefanav Yisparach Shum Maila V'mata. There's no levels by Hashem because, like we said, Kvod Amalei Olam, right? However, the Shinoi, he says, Rak Shenivra Olam, right? Rak Shehashinoi Hu Ela Mekablim, right? The only difference is to those who see the light, who perceive the light. Mitzad Hashem, he's really everywhere. But the Tzimtzum really exists, Mitzad us. And he says that this was the entire purpose of all of the Hishtalshalos, right? The purpose of all of Tzimtzum was Ad Shenivra Olam Aseh Agashmi V'Achom Rimamish V'Hu Tachton B'Madriga She'in Tachton L'Mata Mimeno Binyan Hester Or Yisbarach V'Choshech Kaful Mekupal. On one hand, like we said, Tzimtzum allows us to have a relationship with Hashem. On the other hand, it's the thing which is keeping us away from the Ribono Shel. It's the thing which creates Hester Panim. It's the ability to live in a world and not be able to see Him. But Tzimtzum is the tool which allows us to have Jewish life. If we ask the question of Leis Asar Panui Mine, and what does it mean, Mala Aretz Kevodo, and what does it mean to create a Dir B'Tachtonim, we can't even speak about what that means until we understand what this concept is. Right? A Dir B'Tachtonim is only possible because of Tzimtzum. So now after we understand what a Dir B'Tachtonim is, and after we understand what a Tzimtzum is and the constriction of Hashem's light, so now we have to understand how that's nogeya to our avodas Hashem. So, like we said, many philosophers claim that because Hashem was so great and exalted, He totally left this world, right? And that was actually the belief of many of Jewish philosophers also, right? The Rishonim, some of the Rishonim explain that Hashgacha Pratis doesn't exist the way that we think that it does now. Hashem isn't involved in every single thing. Hashem isn't involved in every single physical aspect, right? Hashem is running the world from above. However, not on a every second, every butterfly, every leaf is involved with the Ribono Shel Olam, right? However, after understanding what Tzimtzum means, and now we can now deeply understand what the Zohar means when he says Leis Atar Panui Mine, that there's no place in the world which is vacant of God. What does it mean that Leis Atar Panui Mine? When our eyes, when we look at the world and we see a table, or we see food, or we see whatever it is that we're looking at, what do we see? We see a table, or we see whatever we're looking at. But essentially what we're looking at is a revelation of God, right? And therefore, if that's the revelation of God, and like the Alter Rebbe said in Tanya, that other revelations of God and the more essential revelation of God is through Torah and mitzvos, so now we start to understand, how is it possible? How do we create this Dira B'Tachtonim? How do we create this Dira B'Tachtonim? First of all, through having dveikus, through having that relationship, through clinging to Hashem. How do we do that? Two ways. The first way is through Torah and mitzvahs, like the Alter Rebbe said. And we're going to speak about this concept, about dveikus and the drachim to dveikus, the different ways that we can get to dveikus. We're going to speak about that in the next few shiurim. That's the first pan. The first pan is to be involved in Torah and mitzvahs, because essentially what Torah and mitzvahs are is the clearest and the purest revelation of God in this world. And through being involved in Torah and mitzvahs, that's how we create a Dira B'Tachtonim. However, the second, and I wouldn't say more important nekuda that comes out of this, but an essential nekuda that comes out of this concept of Dira B'Tachtonim, is that everything in this world is infused with the Ribono Shel Olam. And we have to be able to see Hashem in all aspects of life. Because what happens when we're not involved in Torah and mitzvos? What happens when we're at work? And what happens when we're dealing with the struggles? And what happens when we're eating lunch? Hashem is there as well. And one of the emphasizing points that Chassidus came to claim to the world, or came to remind the world, is that every single Jew can have a relationship with Hashem. Not only those who are Baki and Shas and Poskim, not only those Talmidei Chachamim, but every single Jew has the ability, through the tool of Tzimtzum, through Torah and Mitzvos, but not through only Torah and Mitzvos, through Bechol Darkecha De'eyu, in every single aspect in our lives, we need to be able to see Hashem. I want to show you a Moradika piece in the Maggid of Mezrich, and with this we'll finish. Let's take a look. It's at the bottom over here. Likute Amarim Os Rish Samach Gimel. So it's really confusing because there's a few Hasidic books which are called Likute Amarim. First of all, most famously, Likute Amarim is Tanya. Rav Tzadok has a sefer that's called Likute Amarim also. And the Maggid of Mezrich, who was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, also has a sefer called Likutei Amarim. So what does the Maggid say over there? V'leis asar panui mine. What does this mean? V'hakol malei mechius habore baruch hu. And that everything is filled with Hashem's light. Nimtza kol ma shiro'eh rak chius habore baruch hu animshach bo. Everything that we see in our lives, everything that we meet in our lives, every single person, every single experience that we have, every single meal that we eat, every single breath that we take, that's a revelation of Hashem in this world. Im ro'eh b'nei adam, if a person sees people, tavnisam v'shomea kolam, and he sees the way that they look, and he hears their voice, hu hakol chiyus hanimshach bo, that is Hashem revealing himself in this world. Ki hakol mimeno yisbarach. And when we try to explain that everything is from Hashem, what does that mean that everything is from Hashem? It means that leis asar panui mine, Hashem exists everywhere, and the reason and the way that He reveals Himself is through the physical world, is through Torah and Mitzvos. Rak shehu milubash bekelim mikelim shonim kivyachol. And the reason that we see Him in this hidden way is because it's the only way that we can have a relationship with Him. It's like the cat and mouse, right? Tzimtzum is the thing that connects us, but it's the same tool that hides Hashem. Going forward, in the next few sessions that we're gonna learn together, we're gonna see how this concept of Tzimtzum and Dir B'Tachtonim actually translate into Avodas Hashem. What does Dveikus mean? We're going to speak about for the next one or two sessions Dveikus through Torah and Mitzvos. What does it mean to have Dveikus in Bechol Derkecha De'eyu? We're going to speak about the concept of Olam Haba versus Olam Hazeh. What one should a person really emphasize on? And I just want to leave you guys off with one nekuda. So especially in these times that the world is struggling, and people are looking for Hashem in every single place, right? We're looking around and we feel like He's not there, right? We're looking around and we're struggling and it's very hard to see Him. But we have to open our eyes and recognize that Leiv Sasar Panui Mine. Hashem is revealing Himself. Now, why is He revealing Himself this way? I really don't know. Miodea, why is Hashem revealing Himself? But we have to understand that this is Hashem revealing Himself. And we have to understand, we have to be misbonen, and we have to contemplate exactly what it is our avoda is right now. Whether it's Torah and Mitzvahs, whether it's Chesed, every person in their place. I hope this was helpful, once again, just framing what it means to have a Dir B'Tachtonim, what theological questions we raised, how do we exist, how does Hashem exist? We explained that there was Tzimtzum Rishon, which Hashem constricted His light in order to allow other people in. We explained that there was a Tzimtzum Sheni, which Hashem constricted His light once again in order so He can exist in this world. And that is a tool which is positive and is also negative, right? On one hand, it reveals Hashem, but it also hides Hashem. And that's the only way that we can connect to Hashem, is through this cat and mouse. Sometimes we see Him, sometimes we don't. L'chaim, l'chaim, chevra. Shall be zocha to a beautiful, beautiful week. And I'm looking forward to learning again next week. So yasher koach to all of you.